Blog Talk Radio.
We want to speak life over you today. Every person listening, I want you to understand, no matter where you stand or where you might currently find yourself, it's not over. When God is in it, there is no limit. No greed.
It's not over. It's not the end. It's not ending.
Yes, he did.
No limits.
No boundaries.
No boundaries. It ain't over till God says it's over. I don't care about the fat lady singing. It ain't over until God says it's over. There's a saying, say it ain't over till the fat lady sing. Well, I want you to know she can sing, but it ain't really over until God says it's over. Hey, welcome to the Word at Noon. I am Lewis Beasley, Apostle of Jesus Christ, called by the will of God. All the saints and faithful in Christ Jesus, we keep happy to have each and every one of you all. I'm elated. I'm excited about the Word of God today. We're going to ask Pastor Bill if she'll give us a word of prayer. This is Thankful Thursday, and I'm just excited for Thankful Thursday. Pastor Bill from Akron, Ohio.
Praise the Lord, and good afternoon, everyone. Thank you, Pastor, for that song. Amen. The scripture I'd like to share is one of our foundational scriptures coming from Colossians 2 and verse 14. Blotting out the handwriting of the ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out the way, nailing it to his cross. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we come before you today, we're thanking you for another Thursday that we can come together and just give you thanks for all things, Father God. We ask that you will bless each and every one on the broadcast, those that have called in, those that are listening by internet, Father God. We just pray that you'll continue, Father God, to have your way with each and every one of us. Continue to guide our pastor, lead him through the word and help him to teach the word so that we can understand it, Father God. And Lord, help us to receive it. Be with all those who've asked us to keep them lifted up in prayer, Father God, all those who are sick and shut in, those who are bereaved, and those who are going through. We give you thanks for everything, Father God. And Lord, we just ask that you would just help us all as we come together and be on one accord, and allow the Holy Spirit to open up our hearts to the word. Bless each and every one. We bind up anything that may try to come up against us, that try to keep us from hearing the word of God and sharing the word of God with others. Continue to be with our pastor who plead the blood of Jesus over him as he continues on this journey, Father God. Now, Lord, have your way in Christ Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you so much, Pastor Bill. Hallelujah. Well, this is Thankful Thursday, brothers and sisters. I want to just tell you all, this word is at a place where God said just go forward. So I'm not going to observe any special day that we might have set aside. I'm just going to be obedient to the Spirit. See, sometimes you teach stuff, then you got to live it. And God said, I want you to just continue. Now, if anybody have anything that's of urgence, other than Pastor, because she's my co-pastor here, but anybody have anything of urgent, you press 1. And if not, we're going to get back into this lesson where we left off today and get 3. But let me remind the others, this is your first time here this week, I want to tell you, we're talking about Christ abolishing the law. And our foundational scriptures is found Ephesians 2 and 13 through 15 and Colossians 2 and 14. And we've been talking about why Christ abolished the law. Well, John 17 said they ain't keeping no way. So that's what we're talking about. Why he had to abolish the law. It didn't do anything for us. It didn't help us. And I'm going to point out a couple of things. When he abolished the law, he abolished all of it, okay? All the Jewish laws included those laws found in the Old Testament. When Paul says that the non-Jews talking about the Gentiles are no longer bound by these laws. See, they try to put them things on the Gentiles. I'm kind of reminded a little bit when I was in the organized church. It's certain things you put on certain people, even if they were not, but because they wasn't really into the Word of God, so to speak, they would put a more weight on them than they would somebody who had already been there. Well, I'm going to get into that because that's not important. Here's what's important. The Old Testament laws do not apply to us today. He is saying certain types of laws made us in the Old Testament. They were there, you know, there are different categories. But I'm going to put it to you this way, brothers and sisters, so you'll get a clear understanding. Even though they had more laws, they had more laws, and they had, what was the other one? Ceremony laws. They had all these different laws and the purpose of them and so forth and so on. One through three, you can find out about some of them. Also in Deuteronomy, these were laws that were dealt to the Israel on a daily, a day-by-day living, for better way of saying that. So you found that over in Deuteronomy 24:10-11. And it was for society, cultural living, and all that. But anyway, and the moral laws, which you found in Exodus 20:1-17, it is required for obedience. That's what the law, it makes you know what you should do and what you should not do. Hallelujah. So with that being said now, we were talking about certain laws. And to understand these laws, you got to understand the old covenant and the new covenant, because he abolished the old covenant, which happened to be the law of Moses and everything that stood for. He abolished it. And if I tell you you don't need it, you're going to see it right in the Word of God. You need it by like a, you need a hole in the head, and you don't need no hole in the head. It's useless for you if you're a believer now. That's if you're a Christian. So to open up with where we left off yesterday, Pastor had read that scripture over in Galatians. I think that was, might have been one of the last scriptures we had. It was over in Galatians. And I'm going to have her to just read it from the, I think, did you read that from the, I know it was from God's Word, and I don't think it was from, might have been from the Living Translation. But anyway, in Galatians 3, I want to say that the where you read that from, Pastor?
I had read that from the New Living Translation, and that was Galatians 3:23-27. Yeah.
Okay.
That's what
Galatians 20, you say that?
23-27. And
well, I'm
going to
back it up. I want to back it up then to at least the 21st verse.
Okay.
Because, so that for those that hadn't been here, they'll understand a little bit better.
Okay, Pastor. You want me to read it from the King James also?
Sure.
Okay. All right. So Galatians 3:21-27 from the King James. Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. But the scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But we are no longer under a schoolmaster, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. In the New Living Translation, is there a conflict then between God's law and God's promises? Absolutely not. If the law could give us new life, we could be made right with God by obeying it. But the scriptures declare that we are all prisoners of sin. So we receive God's promise of freedom only by believing in Jesus Christ. Before the way of faith in Christ was available to us, we were placed under guard by the law. We were kept in protective custody, so to speak, until the way of faith was revealed. Let me put it another way. The law was our guardian until Christ came. It protected us until we could be made right with God through faith. And now that the way of faith has come, we no longer need the law as our guardian. For you are all children of God through faith in Christ Jesus, and all who have been united with Christ in baptism have put on Christ, like putting on new clothes. Amen.
I'm going to just thank him. That is deep.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Thank you so much, Pastor, for reading that. Listen, brothers and sisters, God never wanted us to live by a bunch of laws. If he had us, he would have had Abraham to do that 30 years before. But it was, he wanted us to live by faith. So he wanted to show us that we could live by faith. But everybody don't want to live by what the Word of God say. They want to take their own path. God had to add laws to keep us in line, for a better word, until Christ got here.
Amen.
See, that's the whole idea of the guardian. The guardian, he pretty much watched, the law watched over us. He kept us in check.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He guarded us. It kept us. It was a keeper.
Mm-hmm.
See, some people use the law right now to keep them. They keep their mind right. They keep them from going astray. That's what the law do for a lot of people right now. It become their watchman. And if they didn't have that, they would be buck wild.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
It's sort of like a, it's the law is kind of like a warning for you. It can be even concluded as a one. I know we've got had a lot of definition this week, but a person who take care of property sometimes for an absent owner, that's what a guardian is. You know, somebody taking care of something for you until you get there. See, that's what that's what Paul was explaining to us, that that's what was going on. The law was keeping them like a caretaker. A custodian,
Amen.
You know, along those lines, that's what it was all about, you know. have some comments on that for a minute, Pastor.
Amen.
You know what? Go ahead. I think Evangelist Renee got a wrong number. Okay, go ahead, Pastor.
Okay. As I was looking at that, like you were saying about the guardian, in God's word in verse 24 says, but Christ came, Moses' law served as our guardian. Christ came so that we could receive God's approval by faith. But now that this faith has come, we are no longer under the control of a guardian. So that makes it pretty plain there. It says you are all God's children by believing in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Yeah, amen. That's the key right there, brothers and sisters. This promises to you based on faith in Christ Jesus. Now, that's how you get this. It's not an automatic.
Yes, amen.
All those people died in the Old Testament, they died in faith because their faith was in Christ. Their faith wasn't in the flesh. It wasn't in buildings. It wasn't in people. It was in what the Word of God had said.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Amen.
So I might have misquoted to somebody, might have misunderstood me, but let me clean it up right now. All people in the Old Testament had faith, but their faith was in Christ. It went beyond the law. It went beyond what people said. So when you start reading the book of Hebrews, you'll see it wasn't no ordinary people, man. These people was believing beyond what their eyes could see.
That's right. Amen. Amen.
Yeah. If it was left up to Noah, Noah would have never, because he didn't have faith in the system. He had faith in God.
Yeah. That's why he built the earth. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Because that had never been done before.
Amen.
But his faith was not in the things of the world. His faith, you get a chance, do your own research, and you'll see that in that 11th chapter, all those people died. They died in faith, having yet received the promises, but seeing it for all. And that's how you have to understand everything was kind of predicated on faith. That's how the world were. The world, you got to understand the world from a faith perspective, not from a law perspective, because it won't agree with it.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Only reason Enoch got transferred because of faith, man. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
That's why he got transferred. Only reason that God spoke to Abel out of his blood had hit the ground, and because faith was in that.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
God said, wait a minute, that's not my approval. See, God wants to approve stuff, and the way he approves stuff is by your faith, by acting on that faith. Enoch skipped death and went on to glory.
Yeah. Yes, he did.
Yeah. Sarah having babies at 99, her and Abraham. You know why?
Mm-hmm.
Because they had gotten a hold to that faith thing. The list goes on and on and on. So their faith was not in the system. Their faith was in the Word of God, what God had said. And that's how Abraham became righteous. His righteousness was not predicated on the law.
Yeah.
It wasn't predicated on the law.
Mm-hmm.
Having faith in that word. I could give you a bunch of lists of people got healed. They only got healed because their faith was in the Word of God and what God had said.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it was. That's what his faith was at.
Amen.
Now, the law and all that was good, brothers and sisters, but don't you know it's better? I'd rather have the better. I'm be honest with you.
Mm-hmm.
See, the old covenant, it was a good covenant, Romans 7:12. But you read on down there, well, we'll do that just to show you. In Romans 7:12, actually, you decide which one you want to read out of. But I'm going to go ahead on and read it from the King James Version. Romans 7:12, because also we're going to do verse 22. I want you to do your own research, brothers and sisters. I want to put it out there to you and give you something to chew on. Go check it out. It's wherefore the law is holy and the commandment holy and just and good.
Mm-hmm. Amen. It's in the New Living Translation at Romans 7:12. But still the law itself, holy and its commands are holy and right and good. Amen.
Okay. Amen. So he explaining that. But then read on down there to 22. It says, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man, after the new covenant, which is better. That's what you should delight in.
Amen. Amen. And from the New Living Translation, I love God's law with all my heart. Amen.
Yeah. See, God's law is better than Moses' law. Moses gave the law, I told you, there's three different kinds of laws. You had the ceremonial law. So that's why Christ got rid of all of that. But, you know, over there in, where's that, Hebrews? I want to say it's Hebrews 8:6. I'm going to read that. I want you to see that it's so much better. See, everything good to you ain't good for you.
All right now. Say it.
You know, somebody going to say, well, how can that be? Yeah. See, everything good to you ain't good for you. And you don't have to go no further than the fact that you raise children.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And that stuff, you know, candy and stuff was good to them, but it wasn't always good for them.
Amen.
Yeah. But Hebrews 8:6 says, but now have he obtained a more excellent ministry by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. That's the new covenant.
Yeah. Amen, amen. From the New Living Translation, but now Jesus, our high priest, has been given a ministry that is far superior to the old priesthood, for he is the one who mediates for us a far better covenant with God based on better promises. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. So why did he get rid of the old covenant, you ask? Because of Hebrews 9:9 and Hebrews 10:4. It was powerless, people, to save you. Couldn't be saved by a bunch of rules and laws and regulations and laws. Couldn't be saved by that stuff.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
But the new covenant was when he got rid of the old, he established the new. The new one says this in Hebrews 7:25. This is where I come in. In Hebrews 7:25, he saved to the uttermost. I don't know where you at, what part of the country you're in. I don't know where you at mentally, spiritually, socially, intellectually, but hey, he can save you to the uttermost.
Yeah.
Oh, that's what
thank you, Lord. Mm-hmm.
See, I keep telling you, over there in Hebrews 7 and 23, that priesthood was just temporary, brothers and sisters. It was just temporary. We got a permanent, eternal priesthood now. According to Hebrews 7 and 17, it's permanent. It's eternally.
Mm-hmm.
Now I know some of you wonder, oh, why? You have to go over this stuff so you can understand it, brothers and sisters.
Mm-hmm.
If you know the difference between the Aaron priesthood and the Melchizedek priesthood, you got some research to do.
Yeah.
When Christ was after the order of Melchizedek, he didn't have no beginning and he don't have no end. It's far better. So that's why he abolished that covenant, that Abraham, that priesthood to Abraham. He abolished that. He abolished using the blood. Now, all y'all can agree with this. The animal sacrifice. Remember Hebrews 9 and 12? He abolished that.
Mm-hmm.
And he used his own blood as a sacrifice.
Yes, amen.
So he's, according to Hebrews 8 and 2, he's up in the heavenly a tabernacle ministry, waiting on us to attend.
Yeah.
The law only worked sin, death. That's what it did for you. It brought death to you. Some of y'all may know that, but have you ever looked in the light that going to church, that's what it does? It brings death. Being in Christ bring you life, brothers and sisters.
Mm-hmm.
It's called the spirit. It's the law of the spirit of life. Find that for me, Pastor. Romans 8, I think it's about the second verse. I'm not sure, but it's somewhere around there. But it says it's the spirit that give us this life that we're after. That's what you get with the law of the spirit of life that's in Christ Jesus. That's what you get. It's called the spirit of life. That's what the new covenant is.
And Romans 8:2 says, for the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Amen.
See, when you're going to church, you're dealing with the law of sin and death. Now I'm going to bring it right home to you. I know we're running over a little bit, but I'm going to bring it right home to you. Show me a building that they ain't practiced some kind of sin up in there. Show me one. Because the law, got to hear it now, for the law of the spirit of life is in Christ. You can do anything you want to do, brothers and sisters, but you can't deny what this is saying. It's saying that the law of the spirit of life is in Christ. Now, that's where it said. It's in Christ. And
yeah,
he says, Jesus made me free from the law of sin and death. Well, why did he say Jesus did this? Because Jesus' body hung on the cross. He became sin. He became death.
The law
couldn't do it, man. It was weak. Going to church is weak. See, I just have to put it out there like that. But I know I got some church folk up in here that want to continue to go to church. Brother, sister, listen, I want you in the Word of God. That's where God wants you at.
Mm-hmm.
Never mind what I want. God wants you in His Word. He wants you to be intimate with Him. And Satan will do everything he can to keep you out of it. Well, I don't know. It's boring. Yeah, that's what Satan wants you to think. Yeah, but see, if you make yourself have a purpose, you go and look for certain things. You know what? I'm going to do a study on the spirit of life. You got to find subjects. You got to find matter. You got to find purpose. To study, sometimes you have to do that.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Yeah. Because he said to study. So you got to know how to study. You study using the 4W principle. The what, why, when. See, because that's what I want people to do. I want people to get to studying the Word of God. Hey, bring it here. We need it.
Mm-hmm.
But when I tell you, God knew that he had to abolish so we could have miracles. That's why Jesus could produce so many miracles.
Because
he was the new king.
Hallelujah.
He had to abolish circumcision. I don't know why everybody wants everything else to be abolished, but when they get to their part, oh, no, that I don't think we ought to abolish. But it's okay to abolish circumcision. Yeah, because a woman can't be circumcised. Or it's okay to abolish circumcision because whatever excuse you give. But the whole point I'm trying to show you is he abolished it all, just like we're tithing. The preachers don't want to hear that. Man, the last thing they want you to do is you get up there and talk about God abolished the tithe. He abolished the law and everything with it. It's called the law of sin and death. So if he got rid of that temple, that man, he got rid of what was in your pocket. And that's what preachers don't want you to teach. They don't want you to talk about don't be giving them your money. They need a Rolls Royce. They need some jet fuel. They need that stuff. And if you don't pay for it, who's going to pay for it? See? But you don't have to, because God ain't told you to do that. I mean, they probably make the difference, because they want you to continue to pay. But the gospel is free. But they'll agree to that, but then you have to turn around and pay for it. Wait a minute, that's confusing to me. Either I pay for it or it's free. It's free or I pay for it. Because at the end of the day, you got to pay. Well, you got to pay. Now, you don't have to pay for the truth, brothers and sisters. Just another lie the devil tell you. But anyway, anyone else like to have something to say on Thankful Thursday, just press 1. And the Lord had me to try to finish up that because when Pastor read that yesterday, it was so beautiful. So the Lord say, start back there. But anybody, just press 1. Anyone have one for Thankful Thursday? Hallelujah.
Amen.
Okay, do you have anything you'd like to share?
Yes, Pastor, I was just looking at Romans 8 and 9, where it says, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. If so, be that the spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man hath not the spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And that New Living Translation says, but you are not controlled by your sinful nature. You are controlled by the spirit. If you have the Spirit of God living in you, and remember that those who do not have the Spirit of Christ living in them do not belong to him at all. And then I was looking over there at verses 26 and 20. King James, it says, likewise, the Spirit also helped our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searches the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And then the New Living Translation says, and the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. And the Father, who knows all hearts, knows what the Spirit is saying, for the Spirit pleads for us believers in harmony with God's own will. I was looking at that. I'm like, wow, that was really opening it up when you're talking about the Spirit, that we have to have Christ's Spirit, because we're no longer under the law, but we're under the Spirit of Christ. And we get all these benefits when we are walking in His Spirit.
Well, that's correct. Now, remember we were talking about the law, what it really does? Well, look at in this instance, the law, it's a garden. It'll guide you. It'll tell you. But the law of the Spirit of life that's in Christ, it does other things. It makes you free from the law of sin. You get free from that.
Yeah.
And this
Amen.
Law began to govern you. The law of the Spirit governs you. Into the thing.
Yeah.
That's why you talk about being led. I'm saying, are you led by the Spirit of God or by what Spirit? That's why we have
mm-hmm.
to by the Spirit and see if it be of God, of Christ.
Mm-hmm. All right. Amen.
That's why you want to try the Spirit, because you want to make sure you got the right Spirit, man.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Pastor. Anyone else?
You're welcome.
Okay. Well, we appreciate you all, and we'll see you on tomorrow. And we'll continue to keep Pastor Deutsch lifted up.